Welcome to As for Football's Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their seasons as the Black Knights seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophies. As for Football can be found on Patreon, Instagram, Twitter, and all other social media platforms at As for Football. Sign up for our mailing list at asforfootball.com/subscribe. Thanks for the continued support of As for Football and West Point Athletics.
So I don't know how they did it, but as soon as Tyson Riley and the rest of the Army team heard good old Ross Tucker talking about how thin we were on offense, oh, this could get ugly. Dude, Tyson Riley looked like a new man out there. I don't know if it was new tape on the ankles. I don't know if he got like a prosthetic or an implant or something. I don't know what was going on, but man, he was unchained against Villanova 2 weeks ago. Ridiculous amount of rushing yards. I think it was a career high for him. You know, Army team really kind of came alive, and we saw what we should have been seeing in the first two games of the season. So we're going to unpack that. We're going to talk about Georgia State, who just got smacked around by Coastal. It should be a good show. Welcome back to the As for Football Army Football Show. I'm your host, Jordan, in Atlanta, joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut, Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got a lot of things to get through today, gentlemen. So, Dan, we're just going to go right to you to talk about our sponsor.
Yeah, man. As you know, this show is brought to you by Craig Oxing, VP of Residential Lending for Draper & Kramer in Chicago. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states. Though he is based out of Chicago, he is one of the biggest VA lenders in the entire nation. He offers super competitive rates, which is important in this crazy world of rising interest rates. He's going to give you the best deal that he possibly can. And the reason that this matters is because this mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates moving all over the place. You know, now is not the time to make a deal with some clown who's just, you know, trying to make a buck off you. Doesn't care about you, doesn't care about anything, you know, some call center, some random big box bank, mindless website. Like, this is not the plan, and especially not right now, right? It's just this mortgage lending process is confusing and scary. So this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we are trying as hard as we can to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to exactly the very man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lenders fees for veterans. That's a huge savings. It's like $1,300. If $1,300 is not enough to motivate you to at least send Craig a note, I don't know how to help you. I honestly don't. If $1,300 isn't like that much money, you know, send it to us. We'll take it. We'll take it off you. Seriously. So Craig Oxane, VP of Residential Lending, check it out. West Point class of 94. And as I said, his link is on our website. You can't miss it. Takes 2 seconds. You'll shoot him a note and he'll get back to you with some information. It's super easy and convenient.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan. So it's been a week, but lest we forget, Army blasted previously number 7 FCS program Villanova and Mikey Stadium a little more than a week ago. We rushed for 472 yards, completed no passes, and won 49-10. That zero passes. Rob, you were pretty excited about no passes. Am I correct?
Yeah, I'm all for scoring a whole bunch of points without passing. I mean, it's throwback. You think about it, you know, before the you know, vertical pass became a thing in football, it was like rugby with pads. And I think, yes, the passing game is always interesting. However, you know, being able to just completely dominate the opposing team on the ground, it's refreshing. And I think it was needed by both the fans and the Army team as a whole.
Yeah, you know, it felt good to get a win and not, you know, be on the edge of your seat. It was a good game. It felt competitive, but it wasn't, you know, a toss-up to the last second. So it was good. You know, like I said earlier, Tyson Riley had a career day, you know, had 21 carries for 158 yards, 7.5 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. Tyrell Robinson had 6 rushes for 89 yards, 14.8 yards per carry, really seeing that explosiveness. And then we also had Tyer Tyler, 12 for 77 yards, 3 touchdowns. Defensively, we held Villanova to 247 yards of total offense. Most of that came in the first quarter and a half. Villanova rushed for 8-plus yards per carry early going, and then we locked that down somewhere around the middle of the second quarter. And then suddenly their offense just came to a screeching halt. Their quarterback, Connor Watkins, 12 for 21, 74 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. Defense had a great takeaway day, 3.4 yards per attempt, and took three sacks. I think really kind of, you know, beyond the story of fullbacks and the offense kind of getting back on track is the defense. So, Rob, you're kind of our defensive analyst on the show. We saw this adjustment. We saw them actually kind of stop the run game. We saw corners, you know, get two picks. You know, I think there was an opportunity for a third, and the defense looked good. Do you think they've kind of found themselves? You know, they went on their little, you know, hike up the mountain and came back, did some soul searching, and they're good to go? Or do you think these were just kind of some lucky breaks that we saw?
All right. So I think it's two things. I think it was talent finally having the opportunity to kind of show up. Not to say that Villanova was a bad team. Like, if you watch them, like, I think they're pretty close, if not, you know, next year, probably by 2026 when the 12-team playoff happens, they're going to be an FBS team. So Villanova is legit good. I think one of the things that we did see was the fact that there were some adjustments that Nate Woody made early in the game that paid off in the second half. So again, Andre Carter rushing the quarterback, as good as he is at rushing the quarterback, having him settle down and actually play defense helped the team out immensely, because not only were they double teaming him, that took somebody away from, you know, the interior line and allowed other people to make plays. But we finally got the turnover that we went. We were three games into the season with no turnovers, and having two picks was very, very helpful. Gave some momentum, but it also showed that, like, hey, we were in the game. And, you know, given the way that both Navy and Air Force have been playing, Air Force is pretty stingy with holding on to the ball, and Navy has been giving it away most of the season. So being able to create opportunities on the defensive side of the ball are going to be important, particularly in those, you know, CIC games. But it's just important in general for football as a whole. I think the defensive line play was a lot better. I think the corners stepped up, but you take the vertical threat away when you have to pass all the time. And it's kind of counterintuitive, like, hey, this guy's a good passing quarterback, but if you shut him down where they can't run or give him play action and he's forced to throw all the time, it creates those opportunities for the defensive backfield. But I also think the thing that going forward that we have to be cautious of is watching those mobile quarterbacks, because that's been kind of the bane of our existence so far this season. And I think that was a majority of the yardage in the first half was the quarterback scramble, because he was able just to kind of slip out of the pocket and move away from the defenders that were chasing him. Not to say that, you know, we've seen the least athletic quarterbacks, because I think Grayson McCall was a good quarterback against Coastal. And of course, you know, Villanova's QB Connor Watkins was no slouch either. So I think that's just one of the things that we have to continue to work on, because I think those mobile quarterbacks are going to be a problem if we can't get Andre Carter to them before he gets the ball out.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. And I love your observation about, you know, instead of forcing Carter, not forcing, but instead of, you know, having Carter rush the quarterback and eat a double team every play, let's have him play defense. And, you know, every team in the country knows that Andre Carter is a top round, you know, potential draft pick. So they're going to block him. So if we can use that to our advantage and throw off their offensive line scheme by not having him do what they think he's going to do, that definitely opens up some opportunities for the rest of the defensive line. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out throughout the rest of the season. Dan, I believe you were at the game. How was it? You know, 2 weeks ago in UTSA, it looked pretty pathetic on camera. Was Mikey rocking this week? What happened?
Yeah, it was, I would say it was probably 75% full, if not more. Good turnout. It was a lot of fun. Saw Rob and a bunch of his classmates out there. That was awesome. Yeah, man, this was just a completely different atmosphere all the way around. Like, it looked like Army football on the field. It felt like Army football in the stands. You know, it looked like they'd finally sort of figured out what they wanted to do just with some of their base packages, which I guess is what you do when you're suddenly not playing, you know, some of these elite passing running teams, elite offenses. I don't know. But yeah, it looked like Army. It felt like Army. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, I couldn't help thinking as I was walking out, you know, if they'd played this game first and had a chance to sort of settle down and get into a groove, maybe we would have won that game at UTSA. Like, maybe that game wouldn't have even been close. As I just, like, this was the warm-up game that they needed. They, you know, you could see them visibly settle into their roles over the course of that second quarter. And I felt like we'd been missing some of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to your point, we went against Coastal Carolina, who's now 4-0, you know, at home. So that's not an easy place to win. And then, you know, against that kind of team. And then, you know, UTSA is a good football team. So I think we finally got an opportunity to play a decent, good football team. And, you know, we got to see some guys who haven't taken the field yet. A lot of yucks got out there on the field. Brett Garina got his first sack, you know, following in his father's footsteps. So it was definitely the game we needed. And I think if we could open the season with it, might be having a little bit of a different record right now.
But, yeah, you know, maybe.
It is what it is. You know, on the good side, you know, we dominated a really good FCS team. We thought it was going to be a lot closer than it was based on the first two games, but it really wasn't. Every aspect of the running game looked good. I would say through about the, you know, second quarter on, you know, first quarter, I think we struggled a little bit with the fullback. They were really kind of keying on that, you know, Jacoby Buchanan fullback dive.
Be fair, Buchanan had exactly one carry for 55 yards.
That's fair. That's fair. So I guess they weren't keying on it that hard, but I think we saw some mixed success with the dive kind of until the second half. Even the one pass that we threw was a good play. Ballard made the right read and threw it high. Just, you know, it was a 50-50 ball. So unfortunately, you know, got a zero in the pass column, but I know there's a lot of Army fans who are really okay with that. Dan, can you take us through the bad?
Yeah, so like we said, Buchanan had exactly one carry. He did bust off a beautiful-looking 55-yard run, but then I guess he tweaked his ankle or something like that. Not sure how bad he is hurt. But now, you know, we find ourselves in a very unusual situation where Army's a little thin in the fullback room. You know, Tyson Riley just got a million carries on Saturday. And, it's great for him in the sense that he got reps and he definitely looked better over the course of the game, but it's not great that, you know, we're down to like one fullback and maybe some plebes or something. And I don't know how that's going to work itself out this weekend. And the other bad thing, Army still had 7 penalties for 80 yards. Like, it feels like there's some stuff in there that needs to get cleaned up. Some of these new blocking rules are maybe causing some of that. I don't know.
Yeah, it felt like some of those penalties were a little ticky-tacky, in my opinion. But, well, you know.
Seems to be the story of the year, right? I mean, Navy's getting the penalties to go their way, and we're not. And I don't know, man. If that's the way it is, then that's the way it is.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Rob, what's the ugly?
All right, so the ugly. Black Knight still gave up 4.9 yards per carry. Like I said, I think a lot of it came from the QB escape in the pocket, but we still don't want that to happen. I mean, 4.9 yards a carry is a lot. I mean, that's two plays and a first down. That's not good. But, you know, I think being able to have the extra week of preparation allows them to make adjustments that they may not have had or would have had to quickly make on the fly, but you have an entire week to prepare for it. Georgia State is a decent running team. But their quarterback is probably a better runner than he is a thrower, but we'll probably talk a little bit more about that later. But defense needs to just to step up against the run a little bit better. I mean, yes, it was a, you know, good defensive stoppage on Villanova, but that's an FCS team, and they don't run near as well as Georgia State. So we just got to be ready for that this week.
Yeah, and, you know, kind of the second half of the show, we're going to talk about Georgia State and their run offense. Let's revisit fact or fiction. Dan said Army would rush for 350 yards. That was a fact. Only Rob, James, and I clearly don't know what we're talking about. And then I said that Army will have fewer than 3 penalties. That was fiction. Rob said Army will get 2 sacks. That was a fact. We had 3. And then James said Army passes for less than 125 yards. That was a fact. Rob and I both said fiction. So I really don't know what I'm talking about at all. But I do know that we have an awesome mailing list. And if you like Army football but hate social media, you should join our mailing list because no one wants to argue with Navy Daddy 69 on Twitter or Reddit or whatever it is. It's useless. You're not going to learn anything. You're not going to convince anybody of anything because people suck. So does social media. Just ask Elon Musk. Instead, /subscribe, get on our mailing list. We'll send out 1 email per week with links to that week's content. That's it. It's so easy. You can keep up with Army sports, with As for Football, stay up to date on everything we're publishing. It's the way to go. Check out the mailing list.
Yeah, we didn't even send out a mailer this past week. There was pretty much just the one article plus stuff on Patreon. So we are trying not to overwhelm you, but I feel like the mailing list has been pretty good. And, you know, over half the people who get it open it, and about 25% of those people are actually clicking on stuff. So, you know, people who try that mailing list seem to get something out of it.
All right. Well, you should try it too, and see if you can get something out of it. So up next, we have the Georgia State Panther coming up to Mikey Stadium. And I think Dan would argue that they're the best 0-4 team in the country. They lost to South Carolina by 20, lost to North Carolina by 7, lost to Charlotte by 3 touchdowns, and then just lost to Coastal Carolina by 2 touchdowns and a field goal. Dan, why do you think they're the best 0-4 team in the country?
Well, with the exception of Charlotte, they played 3 really good teams, you know, reasonably close. And especially I thought their defense looked competitive with Coastal Carolina throughout most of that game. You know, the reason that Coastal won so convincingly is that they popped a couple of big plays early and, you know, essentially they put the game away in the first 5 minutes. But other than that, I mean, you know, this team has had a couple of head scratching plays, but they've been competitive on a snap by snap basis, even with, you know, good teams like Coastal and North Carolina.
Yeah. And I think the thing with Georgia State is they're a good football team when they show up, but they don't always show up. And, you know, it's kind of those big moments where they don't always execute. Conceptually on offense, they're very similar to Villanova. Dan, I guess Villanova's quarterback was an athlete, like bottom line, like he made good reads. He scrambled out of the pocket well. Does Georgia State have that kind of talent on offense?
They have a lot of talent on offense. Darren Granger, as Rob alluded to a little earlier, is probably a little bit better carrying the ball than he is throwing the ball. I mean, the guy is 53% passing completion, you know, passer, which is, that's not elite, right? 9 touchdowns against 4 interceptions isn't bad. He's only taken 6 sacks. That's, you know, hardly a disaster. But that's in 112 attempts versus 47 carries for 185 yards at almost 4 yards per carry. I was watching their game against Coastal. They ran a decent amount of, you know, just straight option plays, like pitch option, read option. There's a lot of like running and, you know, they sort of want to get the ball out of Granger's hands, but they're willing to let him, you know, lower his pads and get those yards. So that's, Army struggled with that this year. Overall, these guys have run 118 passing plays against 182 rushing plays, which is not quite as lopsided as I was expecting. But if you figure they've been behind in every single game this season, so they've had to throw it. So that, you know, they'd probably like to run it about 2/3 of the time, maybe even more than that. They've got 2 really good running backs. Tucker Gregg is kind of their workhorse, 63 carries, 3.6 yards per carry with 3 touchdowns. And then Marcus Carroll, he's just got 28 carries. So he's like the third down back, but he's averaging almost 7 yards per carry. And they've got a bunch of wide receivers in the, you know, 12 to 18 to 20 yards per catch range. Wide receiver Robert Lewis in particular has 5 touchdown catches and averages 20 yards per catch. So, you know, he's the one who's going to beat you over the top.
Yeah. And in previous years, I think the possibility of getting beat over the top would terrify me. I'm going to knock on wood before I say this. Our corners have played good football this year. You know, they've been beat a couple times, but they're a lot more consistent than what we've seen in years past. So I think it's really going to come down to our run defense and how we contain within 5 yards versus, you know, kind of that gamble of 20 plus yards just with the quarterbacks and accuracy. What do you think?
Yeah, man. I mean, that's totally what I think. I wasn't going to get ahead of ourselves here, but yeah, I don't think, you know, a guy who's completing just over half of his balls isn't going to beat you through the air. They're going to beat you on the ground. And indeed, this guy is going to run it, about half as often as he throws it. So yeah, man, this is going to be a running game. And if Army can run ball and stop the run, then they'll win. Bottom line.
Well, I don't want to jump ahead, so I guess we'll go over to Rob to cover the defense.
Well, now that my thunder is stolen, we'll talk about the defense.
All right.
But hey, bottom line is it's a race to 40 points. I think the first team to score 40 in this game will probably win it, given the history that Georgia State has had, particularly this season against teams. They're allowing 38.3 points a game, including Charlotte, which is a 1-4 team. They're allowing 158.5 yards rushing per game, and that's 4.2 yards per carry. So again, not terrible, but they're also allowing 300 yard passing games too. So for example, Charlotte rushed for 100 yards at 4.3 yards per carry, and then they threw for 401. So you would think that, you know, looking at UNC or Coastal Carolina, that they would have gotten crushed by Charlotte, but they actually played them pretty well. Three of their four leading tacklers are linebackers, which is good. The other one is Antavius Lane. As a team, the Panthers have 7 sacks, 5 interceptions, and 2 forced fumbles. So, again, they can generate turnovers, which is good. And honestly, that's probably what's been keeping them in the game more so than their actual play on the field, is just the opportunistic defense that they have. 7 sacks and 5 interceptions, those are probably hand in hand. So you probably get 1.5 sacks per every interception because they're getting pressure on the quarterback. And then the fumbles, of course, if they're forced, they're great. So, I mean, Georgia State's defense is solid. I think that the difficulty that they have is, you know, just being on the field too much. If you go look at the plays, and this was something that we talked about that Army was struggling with as well, is just frequency of on the field and time of possession. Moving on to their special teams. So their kicker, Michael Hayes, and not P.S. Hayes as in old school wrestling guy, but is 10 for 11 on extra points, and he's 3 for 4 on field goals, with his lone miss coming from 40 plus yards. And then I guess he's the punter as well, and he averages about 43 yards per punt. So again,
I think that might be an editor's error there. Okay. I don't know that we have the punter's name. Sorry about that.
Hey, no worries. But either way, 43 yards per punt. So the field position battle is going to be important. And again, this is why it's so important for Army to remain on schedule, particularly when you have a punter that punts well. You know, if they're over 40 yards, I mean, you're exchanging field position at every play. So the better the exchanges go for Army, the better off it is overall for the team. But I'll pass it back over to Dan, and we'll talk a little bit more about the matchup.
Yeah, I mean, stop me if you've heard this one, right? Here's a team that wants to come in and run the ball first, but they've gotten opportunities to throw over the top. They've made some big plays, you know, scored 7 passing touchdowns, but they're losing the ball games because they're not on the field enough and their defense is getting worn out. Anybody heard that before? I mean, that's kind of the story of Army's first two games too. And that's exactly what's going on with Georgia State. You know, they're a good running team, but they haven't been able to like really pound a rock and establish it. And they also haven't necessarily been able to stop anybody, particularly through the air. So, yeah, if Army can run the ball and stop the run, then they're fully going to win. And if, you know, that's it. It's pretty simple.
Rob, what are you seeing that no one else sees about this matchup?
All right. So I'm going to be pretty cliche, but I think the formula to beat Georgia State for Army has been the same every year that they play them. Keep their quarterback off the field, because they always have a talented quarterback, whether he be athletic enough to pass or athletic enough to run. So I think it's time of possession, controlling the line of scrimmage, and again, not being afraid to kind of transition the defense, which we saw this past weekend from, hey, look, we're rushing the quarterback every play that they're in shotgun, into, hey, let's play our base 3-4 defense and create some schemes with the defensive line to make it work. One of the things that I've seen a lot this season watching other games is a lot of delayed stunts. So you see like the tackle will make contact, and then the defensive end will loop in towards the center of the field to create that pressure with a 4-man or 3-man rush. So I think that's something that we should probably look to do, particularly if they're trying to run up the middle. I mean, usually when you have an athletic quarterback, it's the edge that becomes a problem, but we can't put all our hopes and dreams on Andre Carter being able to get to the quarterback. And I think that's one of the things that, at least during the Villanova game, we saw the transition. And then that's kind of when the defense started clamping down, is when we went to the base defense and let some of the other guys kind of contribute outside of Carter's performance. But I legitimately think that defensive line wise, we're doing a lot better. And I'm also glad that Army was able to get off the field, because again, under 50 plays of defense last week was very, very helpful. And so, you know, continuing to get off the field, get those third down conversions, force them to punt and get off the field is going to be just as important this game as it is in all the others, but particularly with Georgia State's quarterback being as athletic as he is.
Yeah, Rob, I think you're spot on. And, you know, I read an article in the Wall Street Journal talking about how there are a ridiculous number of quarterbacks in college football right now who are like 27 years old, and they like graduated high school in 2013, and they went and, you know, they redshirted or they didn't play and they got a COVID year and like you're transfer eligible. all this other stuff. And like, you have people who've been playing college football for 7 or 8 years and they're good at football. And I don't know about, you know, Georgia State's quarterback. I don't know his story, but I think right now the trend in college football is that we have these older experienced quarterbacks who kind of make or break the offense in a lot of ways. And, you know, I understand, you know, the quarterback kind of is the leader of the offense. Yeah, I got it. I got the cliche. But, you know, throughout college football right now, I mean, we saw it last week with Villanova. He was a fifth or sixth year senior. He's getting a master's degree. And you have these people who've played football their whole life and they've played at the college level for so long. They've been in that system with those coaches and they are really good at football and they're good at, you know, offense. They're good at, you know, making the right reads and stuff like that. So it's going to be an interesting kind of on a macro level to look at how that plays out through college football over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, and you know, all these COVID policies and stuff and extra eligibility go away. But I guess on a micro level, looking at, you know, once again, we're looking at another team who, you know, they have a good quarterback and he's dangerous on his feet and he can run the ball really well and he can throw. And he's a true dual threat quarterback. He's not as good deep. He's not as consistent deep. But if we don't stop the run game, he's going to be able to extend plays and extend drives with his legs. And I think that's dangerous. And so I really hope that, you know, second half of last game, you know, the Army run defense really found themselves and, you know, they've used the bye week to prepare because we need this win, period. But, you know, especially if we're looking at the rest of our schedule and, you know, doing some statistics to see, you know, what games can we probably win to get bowl eligible. Rob?
Yeah, so real quick, and to pile on to your point really fast, but looking at the college football landscape, so former Nebraska quarterback ended up at K-State. I don't know if you saw his performance, but he was responsible for 5 touchdowns. So again, there is some validity to, you know, the old man literally running, you know, the offensive team. So I think having, you know, these fourth or fifth year seniors are, you know, that's kind of used to be kind of standard to see a fifth year senior. Now we're seeing 6 year seniors with the COVID year. And like, these are some grown men playing football that may or may not make it in the league, but you know, it's kind of like going back to your high school and playing ball with some of the kids on the JV team. Like, you might have a distinct advantage over them. But going into this week's game, I think shutting down the quarterback is still going to be the focal point. And the more that we can do against the quarterback of Georgia State, it, you know, not to look too far down the road, but being able to play against Wake Forest, against Sam Hartman, just as athletic and got a cannon for an arm. And if you've been watching him, he's been playing fairly well since he came back. So, I mean, the more that we can do against a quarterback, the better off we're going to be all season. And I'll stop there.
So ESPN has quarterback Darren Granger listed as a senior. And I know that he took over about midway through the season. So this is his second season as a full starter. But I don't know, like, is he a fifth year senior or a 10th year senior? Like, I don't know that. And just from looking at his picture, he doesn't look like he's in his 30s, but he definitely looks like he's in his mid 20s. So who knows?
Yeah, and like, I'm not saying kind of specific to him. I'm just saying as a theme through this season, you know, Sam Hartman, great example, Rob, of, you know, he's been around for more than a couple seasons. So
yeah, that's true.
It's just going to be interesting to see how that plays out because Army is at a distinct disadvantage because of that, because our guys graduate in 4 years. Maybe somebody, you know, tears a labrum, blows out a knee and is a December grad and they get another season. Maybe. Like, it's not the norm for our guys to say, oh, well, I'm going to go and, you know, double major in this, or I'm going to go get a, like, whatever. I mean, who was the quarterback at Memphis a couple of years ago was getting a freaking PhD, already had an undergrad, already got his master's and was going for his PhD and still playing football. So Army doesn't have that. And, you know, our offense is much more difficult to run. Granted, we have the prep school, which helps, but it's not, you know, we're never going to have a quarterback who's been at Army for 6 years and has been running the, you know, the offense for 6 years. And that's unfortunate. That's just the reality of it. But, there's a lot of confidence being a 26-year-old guy on a field with a bunch of 20-year-olds. So.
Yeah. So again, according to 24/7 Sports, Darren Granger, started at Furman and transferred over to Georgia State in 2020. So he first enrolled in college in 2018. So, yeah, he's been around a while.
Okay. Well, you know, 2018, that's when I graduated. You know, so when he graduates in May, that'll be 5 years. So whether it's a redshirt, next year, whatever it is.
Anyway,
Yeah, when you're QB1 and the freshman quarterback's babysitting your kids, it's probably a problem.
Well, and that's just other, like, a different dynamic of you, these 27-year-old college football players who are married with two kids. Whatever, you know, name, image, likeness. Hopefully they can put, you know, diapers on their child and whatever.
Yeah, don't hate, man. They got to make money while they can.
No, I'm not hating. And, you know, they're going to go out and sell insurance. So I get that, you know, they're trying to capitalize on their likeness. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just interesting, you know. It was interesting when I, you know, we'd go over to the, you know, crosstown rival and that, you know, they'd have seniors in high school who had a kid. And it's like, all right, there's no way that dude's 17 and he's a senior. Like, but whatever. I digress. Let's go ahead and we'll go into fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Dan, I believe you're up first this week.
I say that Army will have at least 5 passing completions this week. Fact or fiction?
Oof.
Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to say, if you said passes, I would say fact. But you said completions. Yep. So I'm going to say fiction.
Okay. Jordan?
I'm going to say fact. You know what? I'm going for it, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I say fact. These guys gave up 401 yards passing to Charlotte. I'm just saying, like, we've seen how they're going to play. They're going to stack the box, try as best they can to shut down those midline plays. And I feel like I know what this particular staff is going to do when they see that. And that's good.
Agreed. Rob, you go ahead with yours.
All right. So I say Army fullbacks will score 2 touchdowns. I'm not going to say how. I'm just going to say that they're going to score 2 touchdowns.
I'll definitely go fact on that one. I mean, it's pretty unusual when they don't. I feel like that's easy. If we don't get 2 fullback scores, we're in some trouble. Although we didn't get 2 fullback scores against Villanova, and that worked out okay.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to be an optimist, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say fact too.
All right, sounds like fact agreement. We'll have to see what James thinks, but I think it's reasonable.
I'm going to say that Army, fact or fiction, Army has more than 3 penalties.
Unfortunately, that trend is pretty clear.
I'm going to make it 5, Dan. I'm changing it. We're making it 5, make it a little more interesting.
I guess that I will play the optimist and say fiction on 5 penalties. Although, you know, I still think the over-under is probably more like 6 to 7 based on what we've seen this season.
Yeah.
5 would be pretty good.
I'm going to say fact, because I think this season we're turning into the freaking Houston Oilers of college football. Hopefully it doesn't get that bad. But definitely, I think we're going to have more than 5 penalties. I think the cut blocks have been one of them. And then, you know, some ticky-tack pass interference. Plus, we're playing at home, so hopefully we don't get too bad with the Sun Belt refs, but we'll see.
So, yeah. I don't know if you guys saw, you know, the game, Twitter, whatever, but Coastal Carolina was pretty furious at the end of the game. Grayson McCall and the coach were, like, on the field screaming at the ref because they claimed that Georgia State was, you know, twisting ankles and stuff in the pile. Did you guys see that?
I did not see that.
No,
I believe it, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, they were pretty worked up about it. And there's a part of me that says, you know, I used to live by Georgia State, and wouldn't surprise me that they would play dirty. But it's also, you know, it's Coastal. They're the white trash prima donnas. They think everything needs to go their way. So I guess I say that to say this. I'm going to be an optimist with this. I'm going to say we're going to have less than 5 penalties. And I think that Georgia State is going to get frustrated early, and they're going to play dirty, and the refs are just going to be able to throw a lot of laundry at them. So
well, they're 0-4, and if things start going the wrong way, you would expect to see some frustration. I mean, this is a real must-win for these guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's a must-win for us, but I think for them, this is kind of the tipping point of the season in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. You go 0-5, and it's almost impossible to make a bowl game.
Yeah, it's tough sled. Definitely tough sled.
So, Dano, I know you have a favorite thing to wrap us up with. Why don't you take us through that?
Yeah, so Army men's swimming beat South Carolina over this past weekend, 158-140. That was outstanding. Like, I don't even know when the last time the men swam against an SEC team was. I do know that this is their first SEC victory in school history. If that's not the team's best win since 1990, I can't imagine what else would be. The men are now 2-0. They're rolling. This looks like a good team. I'm excited. and they got a lot of good recruits coming in. So, you know, it's taken this new regime a little time to find their feet, but cautiously optimistic for the old Army swim team.
Nice. Rob, you have anything you want to close out with?
Yeah, just looking forward to the game. Villanova was cool just because it was the 25th reunion for Class of 97, and I think we bring a little bit of positive mojo. I saw a graphic earlier this week that on the weekend that 97 was there, particularly was the second week of September, Army 7-0 at home. So I think that's just a good week to play ball. But always nice to catch up with the classmates. It's always funny how you pick up kind of where you left off after 25 years. I think that's one of the unique parts of going to West Point is that, you know, because you're all in the pressure cooker together, you have some relationships that last well beyond the proximity. And so it was cool just being able to hang out with some folks that I hadn't seen in a while and catching up with people. And then the other part of it is going into the stadium and actually winning the game. It's pretty impressive. And then the other part of it is somebody showed a photo, I think it was in the Firsty Club, of old school Mikey Stadium versus Mikey Stadium today. I did not realize how much the addition to the bleachers had happened since we left the academy. And it makes me excited about the new renovations that are going to happen at Mikey, so long as they get the parking situation fixed.
Yeah, for sure. They're probably going to double the revenue from the stadium just with that, you know, just with the new boxes. I mean, that's really, you know, I know people were upset about the view of Lusk or whatever, but they have to do that. Like, they have to. If you can double the revenue from adding a few boxes, like, that is a legit no-brainer, not to mention the fact that there's going to be a place to get beer in the stadium now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Florida State is reducing the capacity in the stadium to put in more boxes and luxury seating and stuff like that because they're going to make significantly more money on those boxes and premium offerings than they do on the seats that they're losing.
Absolutely. And,
you know, Army's not immune to that. Like, you have, you know, New York City hour and a half away. Like, if you can offer premium offerings to anybody, but specifically grads who work in the city, like, that's a no-brainer. People want to come up. They want to watch a game. Like, you know, COVID has changed things. Just culture has changed. And people want those premium experiences, and they're willing to pay for it. You know, if I'm only going to go to one Army game this year, I would much rather sit in an air-conditioned box with food and beer and pay three times as much than go sit in the sun, you know, at a weird angle. So it's a no-brainer. I understand people are upset, but at the end of the day, you know, it's what we need to do to stay competitive in the 21st century.
So, yeah, no, that's the truth.
Yeah, at some point we'll have Mike Buddy on the podcast. He can kind of give us an update on how things are going with that. But until then, let's just focus on beating Georgia State. So I will be in Dublin, Ireland on Saturday, so I will my best to tweet. If not, James over at Brigade Review will be kind of giving us some play-by-play coverage. So make sure to tune to that. Tune into our social media. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Like us on Patreon. Consider becoming a patron and getting exclusive access to exclusive content, podcasts early, all that kind of stuff. So appreciate your support as always. Go Army, beat Georgia State.
Beat them.
As for Football would like to thank you for your continued support of the Army Football Podcast. As for Football and Army Athletics, you can find us across all platforms of social media at As for Football. Join the As for Football team for our next episode, coming soon to a podcast platform near you.